So here we are in the midst of the February doldrums. It doesn't get much grayer in Canada than in January. And by the time you get to February, you just sort of hold on and say, well, spring's going to come. We're Canadians, so we know spring's going to come. But what a way to get through the winter, eh? And people are like that all the time. It seems like it's a long time since January 1st when we had at least the enthusiasm of all of our resolutions. I'm going to do this and I'm going to be better and I'm going to get rid of those 10 or more pounds or whatever it is. Whatever happened to all those resolutions? Isn't it the truth that with our intentions, there comes a problem? And that is that we don't carry through with most of our intentions. We have lots of garage sales, as you know, here in the parish. And one of the most popular things in the garage sales are exercise equipment. You know how it is, eh? I'm going to get that Nordic track. I'm going to get that treadmill. And boy, I'm going to get at it. I think they're the most expensive clothes racks in Canada, frankly. And we're filled with them. Why? Because people have all kinds of good intention, but it's the will that's lacking. It's the will to be able to change this, to do that. Oh yeah, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that. Years ago, I had a friend, and I said to him, how are those intentions going? He says, great, I've been this, I've been that, I've been that, and I've only been 12 hours since January 1st, but it's been great. If only we could last longer. And that's part of the difficulty, isn't it? Here today in these readings that we heard Patty and Mary Catherine read, we have the way to live. And it may seem like this is long and impossible list of how to actually live in the Lord. It's not that long and impossible. It says in the book of Sirach, which is one of the older books, if you choose, you can keep the commandments and they will save you. If you trust in the Lord, you too shall live. And then it goes and it says, there's some very fundamental decisions. We don't think that we live with such big fundamental decisions in our lives. Most people think they have small decisions. Should I do this? Should I do that? Oh, well, it doesn't make much difference. Should I be able to get up? Well, it won't make any difference if I miss Sunday Mass this Sunday, or we're up at the cottage, or we're going fishing, or whatever. But it does. It's the little decisions in our lives that make and build the big decisions. It's the same way with children. It's amazing what children remember. I talk to all kinds of university students, and I've said to them, well, you know, you should be coming to Mass. And they say, well, we only go to Mass when Mom or Dad thinks it's important, or if we're going to go out for breakfast afterwards, or something like that. And I don't think it's important, so I'm not going to go. Or I'm hungover because I'm a college student, so I'm not going to go. And that's what they remember. It's the small decisions in life. And yet those decisions build to the real decisions in life. The Lord has placed before you life and death, good and evil, and whichever one chooses, that shall be given. Because God's never going to force you. God's never going to hammer you into something. No, that's not it. These are choices. And the choices seem to be stark. Fire and water. Stretch out your hand for whatever you choose, and I will give it to you. That's what the Lord says. But it's not just that. It's that we ourselves need to be able to understand that it's hard to be able to reorganize a life. It's hard to be able to have a purpose in life. Everybody's got a purpose. What's yours? So why did God make you anyway? Not just what are you supposed to do if you're 14 and what courses are you going to take in high school. Not if you're in, you know, later on in high school and they say, what university, what school are you going to go to? What are you going to do? No. That's what you're going to do with your life. What is your purpose in life? People say, I'm 65. I don't have to worry about that. Oh, yeah, you do. You really do. Because if you are here, if you are still alive, do you have a purpose? Or, like so many Canadians in the middle of winter, do you just want to get through it? Is that it? Surely there's more to life than getting through it. If there is a purpose, and we believe as Christians there is a purpose, we are called to seek that purpose in life. And we're called to seek it because, as we heard in the second reading, we seek a wisdom which is not of this age. This is not a life coach talk. It isn't. At all. It's not some way to say, well, here's how you do it. You can turn on, you know, the Oprah Winfrey channel if you want that one, you know? No, that's not it. We seek a wisdom which is not of this age. We seek a wisdom which is really a gift of the Holy Spirit. Do you remember when you were confirmed? Remember? One of the gifts you got was wisdom, but not a wisdom of this age. And a knowledge to seek deeper into the awareness of what it is we are called to be. To understand, which is one of the gifts that you are given. We are called to deeply understand. and to engage in seeking that knowledge. It takes work to seek knowledge, really does, and you know that. Any one of you that has tried to master a new computer program, you know what I mean. Any of you that's tried to master a new phone, you know what I mean. And in many other ways, look at how hard it is to understand the people you love. The work that it takes to understand him or her, a spouse, parent, child, grandchild, even the people around you, takes work. And yet, it is possible because the grace that is the help, the grace that is given to us by God, is enough for us to be able to achieve what? To achieve our purpose in life. Years ago, there was a Protestant evangelical pastor, Rick Warren. He has a huge church down in California. It's actually a basketball stadium that they reorganized. And he wrote a book called The Purpose-Driven Life. He said, a lot of people, they'll just drift through life. You should be driven by a purpose. What do you want? How am I going to achieve that? You want to get that certificate? Do you want to get that apprenticeship over? You've got to be able to focus on how you're going to do it. You want to be the best hockey player on that team? You've got to focus as to how you're going to do it. Isn't that true? Everything we want, we have a purpose, and then we see how we're called to come to that purpose. That's how we're made. It's how God has made us so that our purpose can be in the fullness of the life of God. For the next couple weeks, that's what we would like to speak about here in our homilies. Because if we are to be able to achieve that purpose, we have to be able to get good advice. That's counsel. Counsel is one of the gifts of the Holy Spirit that we were given. And this is counsel that we're talking about right now. Because the reality is that life can be so busy. Isn't that true? It can be filled up in all kinds of ways. How many people do I know who, since they've been retired, say, man, I thought when I was going to be retired, it would be easy, and it's so busy. You know, I need my daytimer, and that's all there is to it. Because life will be like that. But we're called to understand in the midst of that, in the midst of crises, in the midst of snow days when you haven't got it worked out, who's going to take the kids, in the midst of this, in the midst of that, we have to be able to say, what is our purpose? What guides me along the way? When I'm trudging along the road to high school, to class yet again, what is the reason and purpose for this? Or do I just let it wash over me? That's not what it is like for us as Christians. For we as Christians are called to be able to move from, well, we should lose those 10 pounds, to we can, to we will. That's a different matter. We should, oh, that's there. But then, you know, if we don't do it, then it is not just ourselves, but it's the devil that makes us feel guilty, saying, see, you foolish person, and you thought you could be holy. See, you thought you could change your life. I know better, and I know you better, but that is not the voice of God. The voice of God speaks to us and says, I know you. I know every human action, it says in the first reading. And I have called you to something different. I have called you to a life of fulfillment, and I have called you to become more than you could possibly imagine. There was a time years ago when I went to a gym because I had some throat trouble, and I had my own coach, and he kept saying, you can do it, you can do it. Remember that? Remember back in whatever team sport you played, and your coach is saying, yes, you can do it. And you think, oh, I can't. Yes, you can. God knows we can. God knows we can. But we need to turn to the Lord. To turn to the Lord always to say, this is who I am, but you know who I can be. And you know who I will be, because my will, when it is in conjunction with your will, when it's purified and made like your own, will be able to be remarkable. And I don't care if you're 85. And I don't care if you're 15. God only calls us now, not in the past. The past is the past. The future, who knows what future you've got? I don't know what future I've got. But I know what I have now. Right here now, when we are able to participate in this Holy Communion, it is what we are drawn for so that we can have the strength to go on to achieve that purpose, those goals which are the fullness of life in Christ. And then it will be remarkable because eye has not seen, nor ear has heard the wonders that God has prepared for those who love him.